Thank you for coming. I'll make a very brief presentation. I'll introduce directly the chairperson of the committee, Christian Tomuchat, and let him introduce his team. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this press conference. I think we have very little to say, but you can, of course, put questions. We introduced our report this morning in the Human Rights Council, and the three of us were shortly introduced. Here is Mary McGowan Davis. She is a former judge, a retired judge and federal prosecutor from New York. Param Kumaraswamy, who is from Malaysia, who worked for the Commission on Human Rights on the independence of judges and lawyers. And I myself, I'm a university professor from Berlin. I worked for the United Nations for a long time, first as member of the Human Rights Committee. Thereafter, I was member of the International Law Commission, and for the Commission on Human Rights, I was rapporteur for the human rights situation in Guatemala. So I have a little bit of experience with country reports and investigations. We don't know why we were selected as members of this committee of experts. This was a decision of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, and this came as a surprise to all of us. You know, we were just called and asked whether we would be prepared to accept the appointment, which I did. I accepted it. I think it's an important task, and then we worked intensively for 3 months, and as we told this morning, we did not have the opportunity to travel to Israel and to the West Bank because Israel did not want to let us into the country. But we could visit the Gaza Strip. We traveled to the Gaza Strip via Egypt and traveled through the Sinai Desert for many, many hours, you know, to Rafah, to the southern tip of the Gaza Strip, and then could meet with people in the Gaza Strip and in particular with victims, witnesses who told us about their experiences with the Israeli judicial system. And we had another excursion to Amman, where we met in particular with human rights organization based in Israel, who came to Amman also to tell us about their experiences. This is a field experience, and otherwise we, of course, had lots of materials which were provided to us from human rights organizations, and on that basis we tried to establish our report, which was hampered by the fact that the cooperation of Israel was lacking. You know, there was something on Israel, and in particular, Israel had submitted 3 reports to the Secretary General on the Gaza operation, called by them CAST-LED, which is important information material, and as you may have heard, we found that these 3 reports, though instructive, were not substantiated enough to permit us to draw some definite conclusions. I think this is all I should say as an introduction, and we're ready to answer any questions which we can answer. You know, we of course, questions should relate to our report, and I think most of it is really in the report, but we appreciate your interest in this committee.
List the questions, yeah.
Kocher from NZZ newspaper. Professor Tomuchat, in the council this morning you studiously avoided responding to requests from a member of the council on how member states of the Human Rights Council could be helpful to states and non-state actors to fulfill their obligations under human rights law. Would you be ready to share some thoughts on this issue here in a less formal surrounding? Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for this question. This is, of course, a delicate question, and I can say that our mandate did not relate to that issue, and I think it's a very difficult issue indeed, because the International Community has tried for many years and decades, you know, to convince Israel regarding certain matters, in particular the occupation of the Palestinian territory. How could Israel be motivated to withdraw from the Gaza Strip in particular? That was for a long time a debate. Israel finally withdrew from the Gaza Strip, certainly not because of international pressure, and still the West Bank is occupied. This is, of course, one of the main concerns. But we had to investigate the investigations going on in Israel and on the Palestinian side. And, you know, recipes for implementation, for a more open attitude, this is something, I think, which should be considered by the Human Rights Council. That is a political challenge, of course, and a committee of experts, you know, the three experts of us, we are experts in human rights law, we are experts in humanitarian law, to some extent, at least, you know, you are never a perfect expert, but this is a highly political matter, of course, and how can you establish better understanding, better relations with Israel, better understanding between the Palestinians and Israel? And this was one of our main concerns, you know, to improve the relations between the two sides. And but what consequences are to be drawn from our report? I said it at the end of my introductory statement, and I think also at the end in my concluding observation, that we would suggest that there should be more openness and transparency, in particular, with regard to the investigation. That was one of our main concerns, that there is a certain opacity, and in particular, the Palestinian victims felt that they really were not sufficiently informed about what was going on after they had started proceedings in Israel, made claims for reparation and all that. There seems to be a basic defect. This is what we could find out as experts, but, you know, how to improve the general situation, that's really up to the Human Rights Council.
Gabriela.
Thank you very much. Here. When Mr. Goldstone published the report, we had a conference press conference here, and he said that if the investigations are not transparent and credible, this should go to the ICC court. So I want to know if you share these thoughts.
You know, that was a recommendation made by the Goldstone Committee. This, of course, is a possible strategy, but I think, first of all, there is this principle of complementarity, and first of all, really, everyone should get the opportunity to investigate at home, to do things at home, and the ICC is also institutionally, it is always the last remedy if all other remedies fail. And I think on the basis of our report, we did not come up with a finding that investigations in Israel were not really useful. We found that there were some deficiencies, but we also said in our report that some time is certainly needed for the investigations, and in any event, you know, the committee did not make any recommendations, in particular with regard to a transfer of the matters to the International Criminal Court, and personally, you know, I would have to study the issue much more in detail, and I would not at the present time support what Goldstone said. This is also now a matter for the Human Rights Council, which will formulate a recommendation and a resolution, which is being drafted this afternoon, I guess.
Yes, Brad Clapper from AP. Without the threat or the possibility in the near term of the ICC getting involved in this, does this spell the end, the death of the Goldstone Report, as it were? Even if you pass more resolutions and there's more follow-ups and or whatnot, how does the Goldstone Report really move forward?
I didn't get it.
How does the Goldstone Report move forward?
Yeah.
Where do we really go from here? Or is this a dead document now?
Frankly, I didn't get it acoustically. Now, how does the Goldstone Report move forward? I think, first of all, that our report is important. I think it is, you know. And I said the two parties should heed what we said about also, in particular, about transparency and openness, and if the proceedings in Israel are more open, and then I think this may satisfy also some of the Palestinian victims. So this report should prompt the two sides to rethink their methods, their work, and to do something. This is also a step to move the whole business further and on safer ground and closer to the rule of law, you know, according to these criteria which we outlined in our report.
But assuming that it doesn't develop positively step by step, let's say your report's ignored by one or both sides, what next? How do you get the point across then?
Yeah. Well, this is really something for the Human Rights Council. I don't want to speculate about it. This now, certainly I have some personal opinions on, but I speak here on behalf of the committee, you know, and this committee has dealt with what is going on, what to do in the future. This is clearly a political issue, you know, and you need the real wisdom of politicians, of people who know the region, who know Israel, who know the Palestinians, and what to do next. And it would be very arrogant on my part if I said this and that has to be done. I do not feel competent to make such a statement. You know, it would be real arrogance and ignorance on my part, you know, if I now made some statements about that.
Mohamed Chérif, Suisse Info. Je vais poser ma question en français. Est-ce que ça va?
Oui, ça va, oui.
Votre mission découle du rapport Goldstone.
Absolument, oui.
Est-ce que vous avez enquêté sur une partie des recommandations de ce rapport? Est-ce que c'est dans votre compétence de critiquer ce rapport et de dire qu'il n'a pas ou la suite à réserver tel que Goldstone l'avait prévu n'est pas commode ou n'est pas confortable, n'est pas acceptable?
Je crois que ce n'est pas notre task, n'est-ce pas, d'examiner, de critiquer le rapport Goldstone. C'était la base de notre rapport. Et on s'est penché sur les enquêtes qui ont lieu et qui ont eu lieu des deux côtés, mais réexaminer le comité Goldstone et être en quelque sorte un deuxième comité Goldstone, ce n'était pas notre tâche. Notre tâche est donc vraiment on s'est abstenu de réviser le rapport Goldstone, n'est-ce pas, pour lui pour prouver peut-être qu'il n'a pas eu raison sur certains points. Donc notre tâche a été une tâche spéciale, assez limitée, et je crois délibérément. On a suivi le mandat qui nous a été confié et on n'est pas allé au-delà de ça. C'est évidemment intéressant d'aller plus loin, de spéculer sur l'avenir et tout ça, mais on ne l'a pas fait délibérément pour rester dans le cadre de notre mandat.
Mais votre remarque concernant le recours à la Cour pénale internationale, est-ce qu'elle est légitime?
Oui, c'est l'une des recommandations que lui a formulées, mais je viens de dire déjà, n'est-ce pas, que nous, on n'a pas d'opinion là-dessus, et surtout qu'on est arrivé à la conclusion qu'il y a encore des procédures qui sont en cours en Israël, que en ce moment précis, on n'est pas encore sûr ce qui va arriver en Israël. On sait qu'il y a des choses qui sont en cours, des enquêtes et des procédures pénales. Et en ce moment, je crois qu'il serait prématuré de formuler une recommandation. Et également une autre commission, n'est-ce pas, n'aurait pas pu le faire, même si elle avait un autre mandat. Mais en ce moment encore, on n'est pas là, on n'est pas encore là, et sur ce point, peut-être Goldstone, il a usé d'un langage très clair, très net, n'est-ce pas? Mais nous ne nous sommes pas prononcés là-dessus, sur ces recommandations, et je crois que c'est bon parce qu'une commission ne devrait pas se prononcer sur la qualité du travail d'une autre commission d'experts.
Frédéric Koller for the newspaper Le Temps in Geneva. I had one question regarding Israel. You note that there are new procedures in Israel for the protection of civilians in urban warfare. Could you elaborate on this specific point, what has evolved in Israel, in the doctrine of warfare in Israel? Thank you.
Well, unfortunately, I cannot provide you with any details on these new procedures. We have been apprised of these new procedures in the reports which Israel submitted to the Secretary General of the United Nations. We took it from those reports. We have not been able to go into details. We have not been able to learn more specific details about these new procedures. But I take it if Israel, in an official report to the United Nations, specifies that new procedures have been introduced and this is seriously being considered, that this is true and that one can trust that these new procedures are reliable, that they are a factual reality and not only a fiction. This is my... But frankly, we do not know very much because if we had been able to cooperate with Israel, we would, of course, been able to put questions about details of these new procedures, but we haven't been able to do so.
Alexandra Tronikov, Agence France Presse. You said that there were some procedures going on in Israel at the moment. So would you
some,
be...
Some what?
Procedures.
Inquiries
going on. So would you be in favor of an extension of your mandate as proposed this morning by the Palestinian Authority?
You know, that's a very, very... Also a very personal question, you know, and I think it's also... It's also, first of all, up to the Human Rights Council to decide on an extension of the mandate of an expert committee. You know, the composition is something which would have to be redefined, of course, and it's not automatic that a new committee would have the same composition, and it depends also on the willingness of the three members to continue their work, which is really time-consuming. It's hard work, you know, and I can tell you to travel around in the world and travel through the Sinai Desert for 8 long hours is not the ce n'est pas le comble des plaisirs. And, but that's a very personal observation. It may be useful to extend the mandate. I don't see any inconvenient, but again, this is, you know, to look into the future. I would really, in that regard, also say, let the politicians decide what should be decided.
Yeah, I'm a freelance journalist from Egypt. My question is, what is the real value of your report? I mean, if Israel refuses to open up for you and refuses any criticism, what would be the real value of your report? Thank you.
You know, our criticism that the proceedings in Israel are not free from certain defects, and that there is a danger of lack of impartiality, in particular that there is a definite lack of transparency and openness, and that the Palestinians, in a way, rightly feel discriminated, not being able really to participate in those proceedings as witnesses as that might be required under rules of due process of law. So I think there is some criticism in our report, and I hope, and can I trust? I'm just saying, you know, I trust that Israel really will take this report seriously. The report, as you will have heard this morning, was not rejected by Israel. So the criticism which is contained in our report was really taken seriously, and I hope that Israel, which aspires to be recognized as a state ruled by the rule of law, will really try to introduce reform in order to deserve this qualification as a state where the rule of law is a living reality. And, you know, criticism of criminal proceedings is very harsh for a country. You know, maybe some countries don't care about their reputation, but it is my guess that Israel does care. And in this regard, you know, our report is a kind of call, an invitation to do more, to try to really live up to the rule of law and to procedural guarantees as provided for in humanitarian law and in particular in human rights law.
Any other questions?
Sorry, my name is Ravi Kant. I represent an Indian news agency. Are you suggesting that Israel is ruled by law instead of rule of law having a place in the Israeli society?
I didn't quite get it, you know, because could you speak a little bit louder, you know?
My question is, Are you suggesting that Israel is ruled by law than rule of law having anything to do with the prevalence of norms and standards in Israel?
I think that would require a general judgment about Israel, and you know, that goes a little bit too far, and I wouldn't like to speculate. I looked into, we looked into these investigations, and I know a little bit about Israel, you know, but I would not dare to make a general statement of that kind.
Any other questions? Oh.
Gordon Martin, Vatican Radio. So what is the point, really, of continuing to spin this process out? What happened in Gaza is sufficiently well known. Is it going to help anyone just to tiptoe around the subject in the way that you appear to be doing? Thank you.
Well, that's again, you know, about the future of the Gaza Strip. You know, I think that, and I'm not speaking here as a member of this committee, it's my personal view, you know, that the isolation of the Gaza Strip should cease as soon as possible. That's one of the big problems, you know. And but that, again, you know, because we are here as members of this committee, which had a certain mandate. This is the general framework of the general background. This our mandate has a huge political background and framework, and we all know the problems and what could be done and should be done in order to improve the situation. And my personal view is that Israelis and the Palestinians should be able to live in peace with full enjoyment of human rights. So the question is, how do you arrive at that, you know, end? And we may have contributed a little bit, you know, because if you strengthen the rule of law and if you say international crime must be prosecuted, that really is something. It's a little step, you know. But we are not politicians. We are a committee of experts of three people who all hold in high esteem the rule of law, and we feel that if you abide by the rule of law, then already you have made some big strides forward. And the rule of law implies, of course, many things, which that has huge implications and consequences if you really abide by the rule of law.
So if the proposal by the Palestinian delegation pulls through in the council and the mandate is extended, would you accept to continue as chair?
I can tell you frankly, I first would have to ask my wife, you know, whether she consents. That's the most important element that's a very difficult issue. For me personally, yeah. But we shouldn't speculate about whether the council adopts another resolution. You have heard that the ambassador of Israel said this should now be the end of, there should not be a renewal of the mandate of this committee. And I don't know what the climate is in the Human Rights Council, whether they will go along with Israel or they will go along with other people who want a second expert committee to be established, you know, that.
Yes. This morning, one of the NGOs challenged you personally, Dr. Tomochak, on your own record on Israel, and your response was not clear to those listening. The NGO has come up with a whole list of publications in which you have been very critical of Israel going back to the year 2000 and beyond. What is your attitude to this? Do you feel that the fact that you have in the past written very critically about Israel does actually enable you to be objective in this in working together with your two colleagues, obviously, on this report, or perhaps it's not a suitable. You weren't in this case. These aren't my words. Perhaps you weren't a suitable choice. Perhaps you could comment on that. Mm-hmm.
You know, these are all academic publications which are accessible to everyone. And in some of the publications, I have been critical of Israel, that's true. And in particular, now I have criticized many times the practice of targeted killings, you know, very, very openly. I think that targeted killings can hardly be reconciled with the guarantee of the right to life. Still, I did not feel prevented from accepting the invitation. I discussed it with people here in Geneva, sharing with them my doubts, and I also offered them to withdraw, you know, if they felt that I was in some way biased, and they told me they didn't feel that my academic writings made me unable to assume the function, and this is how it went, and of course I'm a scholar of international law interested in humanitarian law, and if you write on humanitarian law, it's inevitable that you also have to turn from time to time to what is going on between Israel and Palestine. It's impossible not to look into these events, and I think what I have written is not in any way the offspring of some kind of prejudice. It is my personal view that some practices, in particular this targeted killings, you know, cannot be reconciled. But I think in the Gaza operation, this in particular this question of targeted killings was not one of the topics which were to be discussed.
Any more questions? Before we close, Professor Tomaszek, one final thought to share with the meeting? Not reacting to a question?
Well, I think I'm very glad that you have come here to put some questions, and some of you may be disappointed that we didn't look to the future, what may happen in 1 year or 2 years, and how this should be developed, and whether there should be a subsequent committee of experts. Let's leave it to people who have the power and the competence to make determinations on that. We were quite happy with our modest role. It was a modest role, but it was difficult, you know, to assume the task and to discharge it to some extent satisfactorily. Other people might have been done better, but we did the best we could. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for coming.
Thank you. Margot.